Amen. Thank you, Lord. And let me just pray for a moment. And I just sense the Lord's give me a few words for some of you out there. But Father, we just thank you for your presence. That you've taken us who once were lost, ordinary people, and drew us to your Son, that we might believe on him and be justified freely. We thank you for the richness of your grace and making yourself personally real to us. We just thank you for this night, we're aware that we're in your presence and that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on both the evil and the good. And that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you, from above, through the finished work of Christ on the cross. And since you didn't withhold him, your only son, from us, and you will not withhold all other good things. Lord, I just pray for the accuracy of your words and persons, these beloved that you purchased with your own blood. Lord, even tonight I ask that we could sense some of the pure emotions that you have and that you feel towards us. That love and joy, the good pleasure. You're for us. That you produce these things, renew them in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I don't know that I'll be able to release these later, but I feel to do it now. Just a few people, but you know, I know with me, when I get in God's presence, a lot of times I'll see pictures, or I do my best. I don't plan to imagine things or making things up. Or he gives me references, just scriptures. And but you know, Shawnee, I just want to, you know, Psalm 42, when Lord brought you to my heart, and you can just write that down, Psalm 42, and you can look at it later. But you know, the Lord is very mindful of your heart's cry, Shawnee, the tears, and sometimes hard times. But you know, he's the strength of your countenance, and he's going to refresh you. But that psalm will bless you, all right? And Stephanie, Psalm 89, verse 1. It says, I will sing of the Lord, of his faithfulness, his tender mercies forever. But his faithfulness is to all generations. That scripture came to me during worship. And I just sense that the Lord just, in all that you're going through, and even in times of emptiness, that he's just saying, sing to me, Stephanie. Sing of my mercies. And the Lord watches over his word to perform it. And so even on behalf of your family, know that his faithfulness is to all generations, and it will go to them. And you sing to the Lord, and he delights in that. So be encouraged. Pastor, just my, there's Psalm 89, verse 20 to 24 will encourage you. And again, just about God's anointing on your life, and the enemy will not outwit you. He'll beat down your foes before your face. And but at his faithfulness towards you. And I just really sense, Pastor, you know, your walk with the Lord and give him the glory. This the relationship that Abraham had was really deep with the Father. But his prayers made a difference. That's how the Lord looks at you. I just have that sense tonight. You're such a blessing. Eileen, I hear the word grand. I couldn't even explain what that word means, you know. Not grandmother, you know, but grand. You know, but what came was that you have been so enriched in Christ. And people will testify. There's just a richness of Christ. You know, so it's not like a prophetic word here. This is just like the Lord tapping the light and letting me see that fresh in others. You're just the richness of Christ. You've been so enriched through all the things. And everything we go through is really about increase. He's increasing something in us. And you have been grandly increased in Christ and his presence. So just keep doing what you're doing. And everybody say, go, Eileen. You know, I'm sorry, I think I had maybe one more. Yes, it was. We talked. My mind's slipping with your name. I'm sorry, but I know. Shirley, there it is. Thank you, Lord. You redeemed me. I'd be in trouble if I forget someone's name. But we were talking the other day about prayer. But I just really sense that just as he remembered Abraham and his prayer on behalf of Lot, I'm just reminded, and that was not because we talked, but he brought that he's saying to you, remember Abraham. He's saying, surely, remember Abraham. And just as I came to him with what I was about to do so that he would intercede so that I could relent from what I was going to do or save some or deliver, so the Lord is hearing your prayers. So everyone say, surely, keep praying.
Surely pray.
Amen. Come on, because it's making a difference. Amen. Good. So y'all can, and there was one more. It was my son Tim, and there was another one. Thank you. But let's see. Tim, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. I just heard the Lord say, Tim, he's just really pleased with you. When it doesn't look like things are happening and working out for you, the Lord sees you still operating in faith, doing by faith, seeking by faith, getting in the Word, and he just says, Tim, I'm pleased with you. Come on, y'all just say, Tim, God's pleased with you. And then the rest of that is you keep your rewards coming, because we must believe that he is. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So say, Tim, keep seeking. Because your reward's coming. Right. Will appoint. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown and demonstrated to the saints. And sometimes us people can take things, oh, that's Will, oh, that's Eileen, oh, that's Raphael, oh, you know, no, this is big stuff. You know, it is really, you know, the gift and what's happening. But that word came to me, and that he's taken note, Will, and he's a God of recompense. And so that means recompense is on the way. He's a God that replenishes. Even when we work in the Spirit, he replenishes a soul, the weary soul. Makes it like a Garden of Eden. He replenishes finances. Just, he's a God that replenishes. So, wow.
Amen.
He's taken notice, and That was the other one. He loves a cheerful giver. You've come into this love, the experience of God's love and loving a cheerful giver. You know, God loves the world, but not everyone comes into the light of his love, and they never feel that. They don't experience it because they don't come into the light of it, but it's there for them. And amen. Kristen, you're God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. You'll see another word in the workmanship, but it gets down to his masterpiece. I keep referring to Kristen, hey, new creation.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Y'all can say yeah, that's right. Everybody say,
hey, new creation.
Come on. I love Kristen, and it's so neat to get to know her. But you're God's masterpiece, and right, you were created in Christ. His will for you is about to be unfolding. It's going to be made more clear to you. And all the struggles, things are not going to be as hard. There's going to be, if I can say it like this, your mama got a word in that meeting, but God was going to make up the difference. And I said, I had a picture of a rubber band. You know, it's like the Lord was just going to bring this rush of energy and catapult Robin into a whole nother dimension. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that happen. But I sense it won't be as fast for you, but it's coming. Amen? He's the God of breakthrough. And so I'm going to move on to this word. Amen. Father, we just thank you for encouraging us. That's a blessing. I'm going to give this to you up front, and it will make sense in the message. I just don't want to forget. And I want to talk to you about how we can be more effective in our prayer life, prayer that will actually produces more results. And so, we know Jesus had the testimony. He's perfect. But he had the testimony, you know, Mary and Martha when Lazarus died and before he was raised again. But there's a statement in there. We know that whatever you ask, you receive. I'm like, I don't have that testimony. I'll be the first to tell you that. And all of us have had prayers answered, and all of us have had prayers not answered. You know, all of us be scratching our heads, you know, and I've scratched mine a lot, will even more. And but you know, sometimes, you know, but we're disciples, you know, and so we need to come back to Jesus like they did and say, why couldn't we? Like when they couldn't cast a demon out, they came and said, why couldn't we do it? And so we've got to come back to God and say, God, why isn't, you know, what's up? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, but how we can be more positioned and walk in agreement with that dimension where God is answering our prayers more frequently. Y'all want that, don't you? I mean, really, you got to have it. So, you know, this thing about prayer is to be investigated. It's God's word. Investigate. We discover things. It's awesome, you know. It really is. And if I were to say, you know, who in here can afford to have your prayers hindered living in this world? You know, I remember praying, going through the Lord's Prayer on the way to school. You've heard this. And we were just 4 miles away, so it wasn't that long, but at least half the trip. And I said, guys, let's pray. Steph and Lauren and Tim, and they're obviously young and not teenagers yet. So I went through the whole Lord's Prayer, and I, you know, I ad-libbed a little bit to make it more real, and give us today our daily bread, you know, and we get into the parking lot here, and Stephen's like, Dad, can I tell you something? I said, sure. He said, that was a long prayer. I said, So I'm thinking, I got an opportunity here. I can say something that will, he'll remember it and will be good, or I can say something that will be negative and it won't be good. But that was funny. It's like, Dad, that was just a long prayer. I said, so I thought and had a good answer. I said, Stephen, I said, what part of that prayer do you not want God to do? Daily bread. That means you don't want your pizza? I said, no, Dad, I want pizza. How about deliver us from evil? Do you want evil to come? And no, I don't want that. Lead us not into temptation. Do you really want to be tempted, into sin? That's evil, And no. And so we stopped, and I'm feeling real good on the inside. I said, this is good. He's going to be a man of prayer. And he said, well, Daddy, that prayer was still too long. And he said, I wouldn't tell my teachers that, but I could tell you that. There's Stephen right there. So just told a story on you. But you think about that. Really, if I asked you what of that prayer, Pastor was sharing on that, did you not want God to do? And so as we ask, we do receive that, and but you often hear this is going to be, this is something that's part of having an effective prayer. But I've heard this for years, and I've seen it. Hey, before you point your finger at one person, you got what? 3-pointing back. And I've heard that, but a couple of years ago, I said, I'm just wondering, what do those other 3 fingers mean, Lord? I said, let me just think about this. And I know what's implied with that, so I've come up with 3 things before I point my finger at somebody, or which means before you judge someone, before you gossip about someone, before you talk about someone behind their back, or before you go to somebody to show them their fault. Would you like to know what the other 3 fingers are? You can come up with your own, but I'm going to give you 3 real good ones, all right? But actually, there's 4 other fingers we need to know. So I'm going to do with the thumb. Before you point your finger at somebody, you need to talk to God. Lord, I'm a little aggravated right now about this person, or I'm upset, or this and that, and whatever it is. But you're honest with God. You talk to the Lord about it. And then you ask God, help me, God. Here's, the first finger. Am I clear in this matter? Am I myself clear? Before I judge someone, or before I'm going to go talk to somebody about their fault, is there a beam in my eye that's really a spirit of criticism? Or am I operating? Am I just being critical? So Jesus said, if before you take a speck out of someone else's eye, take the beam out of your own eye, then, and he said, do that first. Get rid of your own issue, which may be a critical attitude, or you may be in the see, thought, judge syndrome cycle. And that's what Eli fell into when he's seeing Hannah praying. He's not hearing her, but he saw her lips quivering. And then he thought, the way the fallen nature thinks, she's drunk. And then he pointed the finger. Put your liquor away from you. It's pretty bad. The priest, the man of God, saw, and that thought is lightning speed, isn't it? We're just so quick. That comes from that fallen nature. It's not the mind of Christ. And then we point the finger. David's older brother fell into that too. When David came on the scene before he took Goliath down, I know your insolent heart, proud, and who are you? But he saw, he thought, and he was quick to judge. So, we need to see, and we need to discern, and we need to respond with a biblical response that the Holy Spirit guides us in. Big difference, right? So say, Lord, free us from the see, thought, judge cycle. And bring us into seeing, discerning, and responding. All right. So one finger is, am I clear in the matter? The second finger would be, what's my motive? And what's my motive for pointing a finger at somebody? You know, or why do I feel I need to go to this person to straighten up something or whatever? And we do need to. There's a place to do that. You need to discern if you're the person, if you're in a position to do that, if your motive is pure. Is my motive for the well-being of that person? Is it for the well-being of a relationship? Do I really want to be in good relation? Is it for the well-being of the whole? Sometimes you have to correct one or two for the well-being of the whole. And so we need discernment with that. And so the third thing would be, you know, Lord, what do you want to produce in me through this, and it's probably an unpleasant situation. What do you want to produce in me? God may want to produce mercy in you. He may want to produce just the ability to forgive and to forbear a little longer. Whatever it is, God, we have to be acutely aware that God's aware of everything and that we are on the potter's wheel. We are his workmanship, his masterpiece, and we are being refined, and we're in a process of being perfected more into his image. So he's aware of all of that stuff. And so God does use imperfect people, imperfect situations to do a perfect work in you. And God uses imperfect you to do a perfect work in other people. So even in my perfections that you'll see tonight or if whatever, whenever you, but there's something there that God wants to perfect in you. Does that make sense? Y'all can still smile out there, it's all right. But that's part of the sanctification process and being conformed into the image of Christ. And believe it or not, it has a lot to do with your prayer life. So for my text today, I just want to share with you James chapter 5. And we'll begin with verse 13 and go to verse 18. So just in six verses, you know the context, you hear the word prayer seven times. So this has a lot to do with prayer right here. And while you're going here, I just brought a little package. I could have brought a lot, but pumpkin spice, you know. And y'all know when you cook something, you got a picture of normally what it's supposed to look like after it's done. You know, but on the back of every package, there's a list of what? Ingredients and directions. But if you want it to come out like this, you're going to need to follow what's on the back. And so, you know, we see Jesus' prayer life. And if you want to be more into that, then you got to follow the instructions. So B-I-B-L-E, is like someone said, it's the basic instructions before leaving earth. So these are basic instructions. And so we see in God's word, and there's so much in the context of prayer of having an effective prayer life. And again, I ask you, who here can afford to have your prayers hindered? You know, especially, you know, I have to remember, there may be somebody that's going to ask me to pray for them in an hour. I need to be in sync with God. I don't need a poor connection. This might ruffle some people's feathers, but you know, just being made righteous does not give you an effective prayer life. Case in point, if just being made righteous, a child of God, was all the qualification needed for effective prayer life, that means you can obey God and disobey Him as a child of God anytime, and you'll have answers to your prayers. And is that true? Absolutely not. Being made righteous qualifies you entrance into the throne room of grace. And you'll find people just saved. It's amazing how many of their prayers are answered real quick and a lot. It's like honeymoon time, you know. Y'all know what I'm saying? I've seen it. I can reflect. I remember one, and it's like every week he'd come, Pastor Raphael, I got my blessing this week. Next week, I've got my blessing this week. And it was funny. But now after a couple of weeks, it just wasn't happening so much because God began to fine-tune and bring things to this person's attention. But it was just neat. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Just new believers, and they're just like, wow. And God is just moving and making himself real. But then he'll begin to, you know, stand back a little bit because there's some rough edges, because he's going to get their attention. And so when you don't see your prayers being answered so quick, it's God getting your attention. And read between the lines, because talking about prayer is something you can talk about a whole lot. So let's begin with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't say call everybody up and tell them how much you're suffering. Or woe is me, look what happened. Don't take that wrong. We care, and there's a place to do that. But if anyone's suffering, let him pray. Let that person, let him, let her pray. Go to God. And let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he or she has committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much, produces results. Example, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I mean, he was weak in and of himself. He was accounted as righteous because of his faith in God and the promised Messiah. But this man, with a nature like ours, prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I'm just going to read these next two verses because they're just great. Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, a lot of times that requires a lot of prayer, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. In this context, that's not an unsaved person, and rarely does the Bible refer to a saved person as a sinner, because God doesn't look at his people and say, hey, sinners, come. No, because we're called saints. We're made saints. But in this case, it's a believer that's is going into sinning sin, and they're just backtracking. And so when you see that, hello, emergency, and we should look after that one and pray, God, give that person grace and turn them back and help me to know what to do. But you'll save a soul from death because they're just going that way and hide a multitude of sins. Amen? So in this context, if I can just share with you four things, if we can call them character traits of moving us into a place of being more effective in our prayer. And that is in verse 15, the prayer of faith. In verse 16, it talks about one another, confessing your faults one to another. And I can just make that into the word love. And in verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man or a woman. And again, that's not talking about just someone made righteous, but that's talking about someone that's made righteous by faith in Jesus, who is dedicated to a life of righteousness. In other words, their heart is bent. It's not a performance thing. We know that. It's not earning answers to prayer. It's none of that. It's just a man or a woman whose heart is bent on pleasing God. I mean, they're just so grateful for being saved. And it's like, this is awesome. I have access to the throne of God. And I was once an enemy. They think it through. You know, I just call it the holy meltdown. You know, it's like that revelation just humbles us. And you're like, wow. And we become like Paul. Lord, what do you want me to do? When I recount, I can't count how many times God has forgiven me after I've been saved. How many times he's forgiven you? It's like, and we fall short. We're like, man, that person, I will never forgive them. I'm like, do you want to hear that from God? That's it. I'm not forgiving you anymore. And by the way, if we're dealing, and this is case in point, if we've done something and there's an offense, our prayers are being hindered. And sometimes we don't know that right away, but God just has a way. Come on, y'all. Y'all smile at me while I'm speaking truth, you know. Been there, done that, and walking through this and that. You just learn some things. But I think some people are too, sometimes they're just putting a lot of shift on the devil. Well, it could be that God orchestrated something because of something we've done or an attitude, and God's like, I need to get their attention. All right? So, faith, the prayer of faith. We need the prayer of faith. And we need to love one another. We need to walk in love and keep the channels clear. The third thing is the righteous. We need to walk, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Sounds like an abstract term. Simply put, seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom realities, his king. We're kingdom people. We were adopted into a new family. We've got a new heavenly father. There's new rules to live by, right? We have a different charter we now live by. We live by heaven's rules, heaven's principles, kingdom realities, and we operate that way now. So when someone curses you, the world curses back, but not kingdom realities. Kingdom people are called to bless. That's just the way it is. And if you're offended, you're called to forgive, just as God in Christ forgave you. Amen? And so that's, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, which means, God, I'm seeking what's right in your sight. And that's what I want to walk in as one who's been made righteous in your sight through faith. You're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You've been made righteous. Walk as righteous ones. Amen? It keeps the channel open. It keeps heaven open. And then the fourth thing is fervent prayer. We see that. These four things, if I can call ingredients, you know, the back of the package. And it's not like, y'all please hear my heart, this is not a formula, but it's all over scriptures. And we just want to talk about that. So the prayer of faith, earlier in James 1:6, if you were looking at that, he was saying, if anyone lacks faith, let him ask of God, who gives to all people generously in the book of James. James is known historically as, I mean, this is the guy that they say his knees were like camel's knees because he prayed so much on his knees, if that's the right James. But God just chose this vessel to talk about prayer a lot too. But he said in James verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, and in the context of praying and asking God for wisdom, he said, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, they're likened a person to a wave of the sea. In this case, it's a person that's tossed here and there through doubts, second guessing. And so what James was saying, let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. God just, I'll never forget it. But I was praying one time, and I was just like, Lord, I'm just not seeing this. And he just simply said, son, I need you to believe that when you pray to me, I'm going to answer you. God needed me. He wants to answer, but he's saying, son, I need you to believe. And you just be 100% confident. And I'm like, all right. So I'm not saying this is easy. It's something you walk in, but that faith is rooted in the character of God, who cannot lie. It's also rooted in, again, as we study the Word, you come to understand what the will of God is. And so when you're in line with the will of God, and basic to the will of God is always what you have need of. Because he knows what you have need of before you ask him, which means you still have to ask him. You have not because you ask not. And then some are asking, but their asking is amiss because they want to consume it upon their own lust or their fleshly desires or soulish desires. And so then there's that process of work of God's purifying our motives and bring us into that alignment. And thank God we have his Spirit to help us. That's why it's just so cool to be in tune and sensitive to his Spirit. Sometimes I'll start praying and I just know my words are falling right to the ground. They're just like, whoa, they're not even bouncing off the ceiling. They're not getting that high. I just have this sense my words are falling. They're just falling. And I just stop. I say, God, what's up? Anyone ever been there, please? I mean, if you're just being honest, you know, it's like no one's got this down. But I just have that sense. And sure enough, if I get quiet, I say, Lord, what's up? And he just sometimes, son, just spend time with me. And if I'll just listen, the Holy Spirit will remind me, maybe it's something I said to my son or my daughter or my wife. And I quenched him. I caused the Holy Spirit sorrow. Can any of us afford to have the Spirit sorrowful in our spirit because of something we've done? Man, remember when the Holy Spirit's quenched, remember last time? When you think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you could just fill that wall with all of the potential. And we quench him, it's like we're putting an X on all of that until he's alive again in us, if I can say it like that. You know what I'm saying? You all know, it's like, you know, God has feelings. He's not emotional like we call people emotional. But you know how it is. If I have offended my wife, if this is her spirit, and I said something wrong, her spirit goes like this. And if I had to say it again and keep on, like, her spirit's like that. Or it could be a son or a daughter. That's why it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. And the way they treat and how they talk, and no wonder why they're angry. Because they've been offended, they've been hurt. And so if I'm doing something towards my wife and her spirit's shutting down on me, and I come in, hey, honey, and her spirit's closed, read the body language. There ain't nothing there. I'm like, uh-oh. So it's either I did something would happen, you know, it's like, right? So we don't want the Holy Spirit. Not that he's angry at us, you know, but God can be angry at some things we do. But he doesn't throw a temper tantrum. But don't quench him. See, you want the Spirit open. I mean, what a beautiful ministry. He's just like, Holy Spirit, open. I mean, access to God. You get to feel what he feels. You get words from God. And he tells you what to pray. He tells you how to pray. It's cool, but it has a lot of weight because it's very serious. Amen? So the prayer of faith is really important. We need to pray the prayer of faith. Your faith is rooted in God, his character. He cannot lie, but your faith is also rooted in the authority of Jesus. And you know in Matthew 28, verse, I think it's 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. It's like, so at the temple, the beautiful gate, and Peter and John walking on their way to prayer, and the man that was lame from birth, and Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I give to you, he said, in the name of Jesus. That means in the authority. You see, they had a revelation of the name of Jesus that we need to increase in. I do. It's like they knew. It's like in these signs will follow those who believe in my name. It's like in my name. I've invested. Think it's a beautiful thing that God has given to us the name of his son. And so when that man was healed and they came to him and he said, why y'all looking? The people came and the lame man standing with them sound. I mean, think just because someone reached out with this faith in God and faith in this name of Jesus who they knew And they saw these, and God already used them in healing things. I mean, they were warmed up to that. Their confidence. But now he's not with them. He's there, and he stepped out in the name of Jesus, and they're seeing it like, wow, that name. Demons tremble at that name. Demons are subject to us in that name. That name has power. Demons tremble at that name. And so, you know, a faith that's rooted in that is going to springboard confidence in us. That's going to keep persevering until we see the results of that. And so when he testified and said, why are you looking at us? The people came, why are you looking at us as if by our own godliness or power this man's well? It wasn't by our own godliness, and they were godly. And God invested power, but it wasn't their own. They didn't do it in and of themselves. And so they give testimony. This man is well by that name. The faith that comes from him, the faith in that name, by him, this man stands before you well. It's like they put it all to Christ. And yet he used those vessels, delegated ones with authority. He gave them that name. So when you're praying, no wonder he said, in my name. That's why we pray. In the name of Jesus, he is the amen. So even when you're saying amen, yes, so be it. But his name is amen. He is the yes and the amen to all the promises of God. And that will springboard and just something rises, confidence in that. That's my Jesus. See, a new will in a New Testament is not in force until the testator dies. Right? The testator who filled out the will. And it's not released until the testator dies. And so when the testator dies, the inheritance is available. Get it? So that's what you read in Hebrews 9. That verse is in there. It's not in power. And the whole point was Jesus, the testator, died. So this new covenant is in full force. The power of it has been released when he died. And they saw a foretaste of that. Even some were raised from the dead when the earthquake came out of their tombs. That little scripture in Matthew towards the end, it's just such a mystery to us. But it was like a foretaste. Isn't that awesome? I'm just wanting to bless you. Lord, bless me with this. I'm going to have to speed forward as usual. That second thing is the prayer in the realm of relationships. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. That's in the entirety of scriptures. In other words, God requires us as his people to be in right relationships and relating rightly to people. He doesn't sanction a wrong relationship. We have to be in line. It's right relationship. Husband, wife, that's right relationship. Male, female, right relationship. And right relationship with people. There's an honor and there's a respect. And there's divine protocol. And we stay in our boundaries with that. Amen? But you know, wherever there's a fault, not that you got to confess that to everybody, you go to your brother, you go to them and do what you got to do. I'm going to share two verses with this because it's important. There's a place where, I'll say Mark 11, if you have your Bible, look at Mark 11, 22. It's so interesting. He's talking about having faith in God. He's talking about praying. He's talking about the power of your words that can move mountains. All this, talking about powerful things. We're talking about God answering your prayer, doing wonderful things. But in the context, he slips it right into the importance of prayer. So if you look at Mark 11, 22, it's after he cursed the fig tree and they looked at it and say, wow, look at the fig tree you cursed. It's withered. And Jesus turned to them and said, have faith in God. I know his character. Have faith in my Father. He can't lie. And then he turns around, you know, and he talks about, and surely I say to you, if you say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, you're going to have them. And then he said in verse 24, so I say to you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. The same thing James said in chapter 1, didn't he? As Jesus said, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And I know there's a lot of questions there, but you know what? Let's just investigate that and say, God, I've been like a wave at times, wondering about this, and no wonder why I haven't received. God, just help me in this. I want to be someone who's not wavering. You said believe, and that's what I need to do. So let me start where I am. We've been encouraged and we've been instructed. Start where your measure of faith is. But we all got a measure, and God can't lie. He's true. And say the Holy Spirit will help you to pray in your weakness. And so we find these things, and we're going to grow. Your faith is to grow. That's what was said of the Thessalonians. You read them in the first book, but you get to 2 Thessalonians 1. He's like, my, your faith has grown exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds. What a testimony for a missionary to come visit here, or someone to come. It's like, man, what if they've been away 4 years, and they see, like, man, y'all just, you're just more loving, and your faith, wow. Some places you go visit, you're like, man, they're just like, God, something got in here. But the Thessalonians, man, that church is like, man, through all the adversity, they received the word with joy, and they received it as it was the word of God, and their faith grew, and their love for one another abounded. And so in this context here, check out verse 23. Right after the prayer and all of that, he goes, therefore, I think it was verse 23, Mark 11, 25. I'm sorry, verse 25. And he goes and he says, so when you stand praying and you have something against someone, anything, what did he say do? Yeah, you know why? Because if you don't forgive, you're not going to get what you're asking. I mean, relationship, obviously with your relationship with God is so big. But you know, that person that we're struggling with, he loves that person too. And so we read in a different context in Matthew 5, you know, and he's talking about if you're angry, he's talking about anger, and then he goes into verse, Matthew 5, verse 22, he's talking about anger. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and here you are, you know, it could be a gift, it could be a song, whatever, but it could be your prayer. And you're here at the altar, and you got that prayer of faith, and it's earnest, and God, I need, you know, and you might feel like your words are falling to the ground, and you just back off and just say, Lord, what's up? Or even before you start praying, you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember. And you know who's going to help you? The Holy Spirit. And there you remember that your brother has something against you. So on the other side, in Mark, it was like, and there you remember you have something against someone, forgive them. You don't always go to them. We'd all, man, you don't always go to them. The Holy Spirit will help you to know when to go or just when to release forgiveness. My, if a person had a critical spirit, they'd be going to everybody. Poor soul. You know, they got to get rid of that and learn to release forgiveness like God forgave them. So here you have two sides. If you remember someone has something against you, leave your gift. First, be reconciled. And get that cleared up. And then come and God's going to receive that gift. The channel's clear. The connection's not poor anymore. Not a matter of salvation. It's nothing to do with that. It's a matter of relationship. And God wants to bless you. But he loves that individual too. So you see that in that context, you know. So confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. 1 Peter 3:7, you know, husbands, likewise. Dwell with them. Dwell with your wife with understanding. Dwell with your wife with... I'm like, wow, we just entered into a greater level of difficulty. Not really, you know, but, you know, that statement right there, that thought came from my mind. I'm like, I just dishonored my wife. So I need to come back, you know, and get out of that. Giving honor to the wife. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, love your wives, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to your wife. So I would say, my wife, Rhonda, she's so amazingly created, she's worth my pursuit to understand. I've just honored her. But it's really important, whether it's a spouse or someone else. God, you said if I would seek you, I'd be able to understand. I want to understand. And those who have understanding are of a calm spirit. Those who are bent on anger a lot, they don't understand. They're not understanding maybe root issues in their own life. You know, they need to understand, where's this anger coming from? Because the Bible says in Proverbs, a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. I remember reading that years ago and said, you know, my spirit's not real calm on a regular basis, and I don't like that. I'm sure my family doesn't like that. Who likes to be around an angry person? I said, Lord, what do I need to understand? Because I want my spirit to be calm. One translation said a proverb like this, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Like, wow. My attitude needs to get more relaxed. Lord, I want more joy in my life. He said, well, how can you enjoy what you criticize all the time? So if I'm critical of my wife or my children or of other people, of a church, pastor, worship team, that's a beam in my eye. And it's hindering me from enjoying what God has provided to enjoy. Interesting, isn't it? God's word is fascinating. I'm going to skip over to just the last part. But you know, when it talks about the righteousness of the righteous, if you're taking notes, a beautiful scripture is First Peter 3, right after husbands, love your wives and dwell with them with understanding. In verse 8 to 12, in the context of those, if you those who love life and want to see good days, if you want to love life, the life he's provided, not what the world says is life, but if you want to love life and see good days, you got to refrain your tongue from evil, speaking deceit. You got to turn away from evil. You got to do good. It's all right there in that passage. You got to seek peace and pursue it. And so when you are reviled, don't revile in return. When someone does something wrong to you, don't do it in return. Instead, bless, for you're called to this, so that you can inherit a blessing. So it's like, if you want to love life and see good days, and you want to inherit blessings, and then you can't afford to act like the world or out of your old nature. You're going to need to follow heaven's pattern and follow Christ's example. And you'll find yourself loving life more, seeing good days. You'll find yourself inheriting blessings today. To me, answers the prayer. And then it finishes right there in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who do that? But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That means his face will be not against like us as an evil thing, but if we've done something wrong, it's like his face is against answering that prayer until we get things straight. So the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Isn't that beautiful? So then he finished with that fourth ingredient, his fervency. I know I've taken a little longer than usual, but it's just, I remember fervency. You know, Elijah, the The fervent, righteous prayer of a righteous. Fervency is not, it's not complacent, it's not nonchalant. Over back to the book 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, be serious. It says, the end of all things is at hand. Be serious, therefore, and watchful in your prayers. Be serious. You know, we're not to throw this haphazardly prayer. Be serious. But the prayer that God hears is from the heart. You know, as you know, mamas, you know, and some dads, but you can tell when they have an infant and the babies and they get into the toddlers, but they're like, ah, oh, that's just a whiny cry. That's an earnest cry. And that is, I've watched Rhonda, her eyes go to alert when they hear that cry, something's wrong, you know. And God knows when your tears are earnest, and he knows when your prayer is fervent. Brittany Stewart, she graduated from Hosanna here, one of Lauren's lifetime friends, and went to school all the way to high school. She came to visit Missouri one time. And so I went around the corner. She was leaving. She was going to go to the airport. So I went around the corner, and I put an eye drop in my eye because she was leaving. And she looked at me and said, oh, Pastor Ralph, you cry, I'll be back. I was just having a little fun. Y'all should try it sometime. It's fun. Go around the corner, put an eye drop in there. But it was fake. But I love Brittany. It was fun. And then I showed her what I did. She's like, yeah. You know? Sometimes our tears because we got caught. We're in trouble. You know, but God knows. Keeps all those tears in a bottle. He knows an earnest prayer. And just to say again, you know, we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. Even to help us be fervent. He's fervent. And how many times do you hear stories of people maybe in their sleep or something's happening while they're sleeping? Sometimes they feel like they're choked and they can't even think. I mean, they're like almost awake, but they're still asleep, and out comes the name Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Who produced that name in them? The Holy Spirit. Because there's something about that name. Well, amen. Well, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. But it's good ground, isn't it? Let me just ask, you know, Lauren, you can come up, and Michael, please. And this is a prayer of faith. It's faith that's rooted. It's a prayer of faith that God responds to. But it's faith that's rooted in the character of God. It's faith that's rooted in the authority of Jesus Christ, that name. Y'all been encouraged tonight? And then, you know, it's right relationships and rightly relating with one another. That's a real big, it's so big with God, that's really important. Second greatest commandment, to love one another, isn't it? And Jesus said, hey, I want y'all to love one another just like I loved you. There's our example. Wow. And he put his spirit in us to help. And when I'm struggling with things, I have my Gethsemane, depending on what the issue is. It's where, you know, God, I need your will to be pressed into my heart. Yeah, I can, even now, I felt it earlier, but I'm just feeling, I'm like, God, help me to feel a little bit what people feel, whether it's joy, sadness, grief, or pain. And there's a number here, you just allow me to feel. If I let myself go right now, I would just begin to weep because of what you're going through. God cares. He really does. And sometimes when you're praying for people, we say, well, look, they got a free will. And what they're doing is writing God off. But you know, God can work in a will and change it. He can. So just tonight, some of you may need to leave, but I'm going to be here a while. And just in God's presence. Say, God, I want these things cultivated in my life. My faith does need to be in you, your character, your timing. Sometimes we say God needs to be patient with us, but we have to be patient with God. God's work, God's timing. And we can say, God, forgive me for my impatience and not trusting you. But if there's something you're facing, what a beautiful time just to come and present yourself before the Lord. If you need God to work out in a circumstance, you need God's intervention. All things are possible. So Father, we just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for opening the scriptures to us. It's amazing how you can kind of just like animate yourself, your presence, your passion, your emotions. They're so pure towards us. That you're moved with compassion. So Lord, I just pray, we're asking you to renew and revive in us faith, a prayer of faith, and a genuine fervency that your Spirit will produce. God, just we can just become one with the things of your heart. We just invite your presence, your Holy Spirit, to help us in our weakness, to pray as we should, in a way that we ought to. We need your help. Lord, wherever there's any grievances, any offenses, where we have complaints against people, that you right now would abound your love to us and help us with your Spirit just to let it go and to forgive and just release that, so that the channels are clear. Thank you, Lord. So I just invite you, you can stay where you are, come to the front. Thank you, Lord. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. What are you in need of? Just come and present yourself right where you are and make your request to him. And if anyone desires prayer, you need a breakthrough in your life, feel free to come to the front. Be an honor to pray with you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.